a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning. This is the Democratic Leadership Press Conference, and speaking today are Representative Spence Hawley of Brookings, the House Minority Leader, and Senator Billy Sutton, the Senate Minority Leader of Brooks, South Dakota.
In the open now.
Oh, God.
About 30 seconds till the end of the open.
Okay. Well, good morning from Pierre. Billy Sutton, District 21 Senator. I'm the Senate Minority Leader, and with me is Spence Hawley, the House Minority Leader. And we today wanted to talk about the youth of South Dakota. You know, we believe we've done a lot for the youth of South Dakota here in Pierre, but in several cases that we keep seeing come up, I think we're sending a negative message to a lot of the youth of South Dakota. I think we're going to lay that out here a little bit this morning, and some of the things that we're doing that aren't promoting our youth well enough here in this great state. You know, one of the things that has come up over the last several weeks here is concealed carry on campus, and that bill actually died in the House, which we were happy to see. But the frustrating thing about it is we heard from the students from these schools all across South Dakota, and they didn't want it, but it was being forced on them anyway. And that's really a frustrating thing to see is a group of young folks that come up here to our Capitol and tell us why they don't want concealed carry on campus and lay out a very good case for it, but yet we keep trying to move it through every year. It's come up for several years now, and it's a very frustrating thing to see. And I think, you know, from our standpoint, our caucus standpoint, we were glad to see that legislation die, because it wasn't what was best for the students on our campuses. Another bill that is still moving through the process is Senate Bill 177, and that's the youth minimum wage. You know, on the ballot just a little over 3 months ago, the voters supported initiated measure 18, which set the minimum wage at $8.50. And already we're seeing this bill that would undermine the vote of the people. I think it's a very dangerous road to head down to start making adjustments to a law that was passed by over 55% of the voters in South Dakota. But yet here we are tweaking it already. I've heard that in the past that previous legislatures had made changes to initiated measures this soon after they've passed. And if I don't know that to be true, but if that is true, then shame on us, because we need to support the will of the people, and that's not being done right now with Senate Bill 177. It's a fairness issue because if this bill passes and you're 17 years old or younger, you could potentially make a dollar less per hour doing the same job as an 18-year-old. And that's not right. It's not a good message to send to the teenagers and youth in South Dakota that are just wanting a fair wage for a fair day's work. You know, we also talk here a lot about education and how we fund education. And I think it's important to note that in South Dakota, we have one of the highest high school graduation rates in the nation. And that's certainly good news, considering that high school dropouts have an 11% unemployment rate. But you compare that to a 4% unemployment rate for students who complete college or a technical degree. You know, taking a look at the 2014 high school graduation rates, 11% of our students went to our four technical institutes. 33% went to one of our six universities in the Board of Regents system. 6% went to a private college. and 16% went out of state for post-secondary education. But the most disturbing statistic is that 30% of these recent graduates did not enroll in any post-secondary education program. We need to do more at the higher ed level, and you know, Representative Hawley will get to that in a little bit. A lot of this revolves around K-12 funding. We've heard a lot about the teacher shortage in South Dakota, and we've heard a lot about how we're not competitive in teacher pay. And in order to get the best teachers in South Dakota, you have to be competitive in pay. I think we have great teachers right now. But my concern is for future years when we're trying to attract and retain the best and brightest teachers to our system. But at the end of the day, it's about the students. And it's about providing a qualified teacher for every classroom. And so we're looking forward to the governor's Blue Ribbon Task Force, you know, through the interim and what that will bring. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't take action and try to address the problem now as well as the legislature. I recently read in the Rapid City Journal that there were 102 positions being cut, and 26 of those were for reading recovery teachers. So this plan eliminates reading recovery, which is an early intervention literacy program that targets struggling readers. It has been used for over 20 years. So it's very important that we provide enough funding and enough support for our teachers in the form of professional assistance to those teachers. You know, we could do so much more for the youth of South Dakota, especially when we're talking about pre-K and early childhood development. A lot of schools offer pre-K, but they do it on their own dime because we as a state don't put any funding into that. It's something that we should focus on as a state, and it would help the youth of our state very much. Some of the other high school programs that we could focus on, and I'm happy to say that the next one I'm going to talk about is in the governor's budget this year. It's the JAG program, Jobs for American Graduates. That program has been around for a few years here in South Dakota, but only five schools in South Dakota offer that program right now. And what it does is it takes a teacher and creates, they become a mentor for at-risk kids, kids that wouldn't have made it through high school. And it helps them with professional development. It keeps them on the right track. Right now, JAG in South Dakota has a 100% graduation rate. It's something that our caucus has been pushing funding for several years. And even at the end of last year, we tried to get, I believe it was $68,000 in the budget for JAG to allow more schools to offer it. And that failed. But I'm happy to report that this year, in the governor's budget, $975,000 is being put towards JAG. So we really appreciate that, and we give the governor a lot of credit for seeing the value of that program. And that's going to allow 26 more schools to offer the JAG program right here in South Dakota. It's been a great program, and it's a good step in the right direction. Another area that we've seen some movement on and that we'd like to see a lot more is career and technical education at the high school level. If you remember, the governor granted $8.5 million from the Futures Fund in I believe it was last year, I think. And I'll give you an example of how that's working even in my own school district. Burke joined with Gregory, Colombe, and South Central, which is actually in Bonesteel, and they put together a plan where they would purchase four mobile units. So each school has a mobile unit. And in those mobile units, they offer welding classes, they offer manufacturing, they offer engineering, and they also offer biomed classes. And we had a media day in Burke here this summer and had a discussion with our superintendent and some of the kids that were involved with these new class offerings. And over half of the kids that we talked to said that just by taking these courses, they're interested now in going into some of these fields. And so it's having a positive effect, and that would have never happened without the funding that was made available through the Future Fund grant. The point that we need to make, though, is that every school in South Dakota should be able to offer these classes. Right now they can't, and it's a funding issue. It's not just Rapid City and Sioux Falls that should be able to offer these CT courses. It should be schools like Burke and Gregory and Colombe and South Central. We could do that all across the state. Allow schools to enter into agreements that they could offer and purchase mobile units and think outside the box. And that's something that we need to really focus on in order to fill our workforce needs at the technical level and at, you know, with our workforce development. And with that, I'll let Spence move forward with workforce development and how that affects, you know, our tech schools and at the higher ed level as well.
Yeah. Thanks, Aaron Sutton. As Billy said, he's focused on the K-12 area. Just change a little bit to the technical education and the higher ed. Our big issue we talk about right now in South Dakota is workforce development and having a skilled workforce. And that skilled workforce comes from first our high school graduate, but more importantly, the career and technical schools, preparing them for what they need, and then the higher ed to have the bachelor's, the master's, the doctorates available for where we want to take the economy in South Dakota. The real problem, we've got four tech schools in South Dakota, and they always receive high ratings. The Lake Area Vo Tech actually gets rated as a community college, been one of the top five community colleges in the nation, and they perform well. But the problem that we've seen over the last few years is that we've given them some money in the last few years for infrastructure development, for classrooms adding on, but they've had very little money for operational funds. Their number of students have increased over 20% in the last 10 years, but the funding has not increased with that. We've changed to a per-student allocation, which hopefully will help identify some problems going forward, but we just haven't stepped up to the plate yet. We've had some bills this session. One bill is going to take the VOTECs from underneath the school boards and allow them to set up their own boards and their own governance under the Board of Education. And we support that fully. We think that's a good first step. The second step that we've passed through the House side is to do a constitutional amendment that right now it says in the Constitution that the Board of Regents is controlled of all higher ed in South Dakota. So the argument has been, is VOTEC under that or not? And this would delineate that the VOTEC would come outside of the Board of Education and they could offer their own VOTEC certificates. And that the Board of Regents is higher responsible for the two-year programs, the four-year, the doctorate programs, and all, and it'll just delineate that out. You know, we've got the announcement was made, the Build Dakota Scholarship Program, with Denny Sanford contributing the $25 million over 5 years, along with the Future Fund contributing $25. So there would be $50 million available for scholarships for students over the next 5 years, which would start at 600 students and then be 300 students ongoing. And this is a fantastic program. And it's great that the individual private parties are willing to step forward. But what doesn't happen with this is it helps the students pay for it, but it doesn't allow any more funding for VOTEC. Right now, the turnover rate in VOTEC of teachers is 50% in 5 years. So over the last 5 years, they've lost 50% of their teachers, and it's ongoing. And it's kind of the same discussion that we've had on K-12 and higher ed. We don't pay enough to allow somebody to stay in their vocation for a long period of time. The other problem that we've got with our VOTEC is our tuition and our tuition cost. If you take our seven state region here, all of our bordering states, our VOTEC tuition and fees is the highest of any of them. And the most recent numbers were the fiscal year 12. It was $4,300, $4,352 was our VOTEC tuition. You could go across the border in Nebraska and it's $1,700 for the tuition. Or you could go over to Wyoming, on the other side of the state, it's $1,700. You could go down to Iowa for $2,600. And so if you're a VOTEC student trying to decide where you want to go for the next 2 years and you've got limited funds, your choice probably isn't going to be South Dakota. Part of the problem for that, of the $4,300, we're the most expensive of the seven states, but we are the lowest state in state aid. We give $2,500 state aid, which is the lowest percentage. Whereas that that Nebraska example I gave of a $1,700 student, they give $7,700 from the state side. So they, and you can see the total funding, if you add those together, they are funding it higher and at a much greater percentage than the students are paying for. You can also translate this over to higher education. And we've talked about this before. When I went to college at SDSU in the mid-70s, I paid about 40% of the cost, and the state paid 60% of the cost. The student going to SDSU right now, or the other Border Region schools, the state is paying 38% of the cost, and 62% is being paid by the students. You know, there's one reason that South Dakota has the highest percentage of students that have student loans of any state. You know, I the number I've heard is about 26,000 is our average student loan when you leave a school in South Dakota. And it's just, we have had our focus wrong for so long on where we want to put the dollars with our students, and I think we're seeing this all the way down from the border regions, the higher ed, the VOTECs, the K-12 to the preschool. It has never been a priority for us. You know, there has been a couple of bright spots. We did put the tuition freeze in last year, and the Board of Regents asked us to do it again this year, and we didn't do it. But there's been some things that have done. One of the things that we've pushed for, which the governor is doing this year, is the Opportunity Scholarship. That was put in 2004 at $5,000 a student, if they qualified, could get over the next 4 years. And we have a bill on the governor's budget bill that it would go up to $6,500 a year, which is that is good news. But those are small steps into what we really need to be doing. You know, I think just our entire purpose of today's discussion is that we just wanted to reaffirm that we need to refocus on our number one asset. And that number one asset in South Dakota is our youth and their future. And the future of our youth and what happens to them is going to be a direct correlation to the future of South Dakota and what happens to South Dakota. So we just need to take and focus on what we're doing, where we're going as a state, and what are our true priorities and what do we want to have happen. So thank you for your time. And unless you have any more comments, Senator Sutton, let's open it up for questions.
Is there anybody on the line that'd like to ask a question for either Representative Hawley or Senator Sutton? Okay, Jackie, would you like to ask?
As far as the youth minimum wage, you know, the arguments for that are it's actually going to help kids because businesses aren't going to hire kids at the $8.50 an hour. What's your take on that as far as, you know, what the vote is voted for and why we should just keep it how it is?
Well, the voters voted to increase the minimum wage for all workers. And I think if there would have been a problem with that, I don't think they would have voted for it. The data is not available to determine, you know, even how many of these teens are out there working. There was some numbers given to us that showed that a high minimum wage actually leads to more teen unemployment, but when you actually look at that data a little more closely, teen unemployment rates have been decreasing over the last 3 years, so they've been improving. And it had nothing to do with the minimum wage. It has everything to do with the economy. And so until we have more data to determine, most of it is rhetoric. And you know, if a $1 an hour is going to be the reason that they don't hire that teen, then I don't know that they would have hired them anyway.
You know, when the bill came up, I was approached by a couple of local businesses in Brookings, and they were concerned that they were going to lose that training wage, which is a step rated. You can, I don't know exact if it was 3 or 4 months that you can pay them a minimum wage for training, and that was a big deal for him. And so I did some checking on it and found out that that was not affected. And because his argument was, well, that's what I like to use for the high school student, the youth. I give them a training wage, which is a step down wage. And then if they're going to go and stay with me longer, then I can step them up higher. And they still have that ability under the law. That wasn't changed under the law. So there are a few tools out there that businesses can use right now.
I believe that's it's a 90-day training wage at 4 1/4 that they're allowed to pay them to train them to get them where they want them. And then they would go to the minimum wage $8.50. If this comes into effect, that will be $7.50.
The bill does set it at $7.50. Is that correct?
Or, that's correct.
Okay. Just clarification.
Are there any other questions on with the callers online? Jackie, do you have any more questions? No? Okay.
Easy on us today, huh? Well, thank you. Again, thank you for the time. Again, a chance to visit with you. And we'll catch you next week then.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you.